Next item on the agenda is Prince William County Service Authority, 10-0757. Morning, sir.
Okay, I'm going to bring this up, and it's going to be a little slow. I got two slides in here for some reason that are really big, and it was a hard time. We tried to make it so they were smaller, but it's slowing down the computer, and we just couldn't fix it. Where we were. Good morning, gentlemen. Prince William County Service Authority 10-0757 requests permission to install approximately 165 linear feet of new 16-inch water line, minimum 3 feet beneath the channel bottom of Paul's Creek, and to install approximately 40 linear feet of riprap amendment for bank stabilization associated with Lake Montclair Water Main Project in Prince William County. The new water line will be installed by the open trench method. The project is protested by several nearby residents. The three of the protestants are here along with the agent. Here's the location of where this is Powell's Creek coming down this way. This is Lake Montclair. It's dammed off further down there to create the lake. The crossing they're using right here, there's also going to be crossing here, and there's an unnamed tributary up here that's going to be crossed. This is the only jurisdictional area of Powell's Creek. The other two areas are a result of damming off the lake and creating it, so we determined that was man-made structure or man-made area, so we're not going to take jurisdiction on that. So we're only talking about Powell's Creek itself, which is right here. Again, shows it, and here this is the overview of what's happening here, and this is where the crossing is coming up this way, it's going this way to connect two different water lines. And the reasoning for the project is they said the northern area up in this area has low water pressure, and the area has grown so much that they need the additional line to give continuous good strong water in that area. Okay, this is the overview drawing of it, and here is where we took jurisdiction on this area. I'll show it in color in a minute. Here's another part that they named Paul's Creek, but we determined that it wasn't. There's another part up here, and here's the unnamed tributary. They have an easement coming up this way, and the easement goes all the way up here into this area. They did go ahead and try to get a construction easement, a temporary construction easement here. The homeowner association did not give them temporary construction easement, but they said that they really didn't need it, and they can go ahead with the easement they have to gain access to Paul's Creek right there. Okay, this is just showing you the unnamed tributary there. It's on the northern section of it. Yeah, this shows where it's going to be. Board. Here's where it's going to be open trench and with the riprap on that area on the unnamed tributary. This shows the area where we're talking about right here, which is the jurisdiction of the commission. This is the Powell's Creek area here, and this is where the crossing is going to happen. These other two crossings are non-jurisdictional. And here's the cross section of what's happening, and this is the cross section right here, where the riprap is going to be here and here, and this is where they're going to open trench and put the new water line minimum 3 feet underneath Powell's Creek at that point. And now I'm gonna be showing you some pictures of the area. And one of the main reasons for the protest was the sedimentation of the lake from a previous project that happened up at Spriggs Road a few years ago, where the applicant, the opposition said that it sediment, the Lake Montclair was filled in because of that project. But just showing you pictures here, and this is, we've had a really, probably a dry summer, pretty much, and yeah. You will see the water color in this area is very murky, it's very brown, a lot of sediment in that area anyhow. The whole area is highly urbanized, there's a lot of street runoff and all the runoff going into there. So I think that's just a part of it is the sedimentation of that lake, and when you create a lake like that, it's going to cause the particulate matter to fall out into that lake, causing it to close off. There's a picture of it, there's a little closer picture of it, where the exact crossing, where it's at. Okay. Here's where it's marked off, you can see the tapes, and it's going across in that area. Same area.
That's the actual location the pipe is due to.
Actual location, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, it's showing you the actual location. Now this is where the start of Lake Montclair is. They have a sediment basin in this area that they told me they put in a while ago. But this is where the start of the lake is. And we only have jurisdiction like the top part of it where the crossing is. Again, it shows that same area. And this, again, is the overview of the whole project. And again, like I said, this is where you saw that area. That's right in here. And this right here is Powell's Creek in the jurisdictional area. Sorry about that.
Moving right along.
Here's a summary and recommendation. While staff is sympathetic to the landowner's concerns, it appears that the Prince William County Service Authority has addressed the issues of sedimentation of Powell's Creek and Lake Montclair. The Service Authority must follow the 1992 ENS manual for duration of the project. The issue of the riparian buffer is an upland issue that is not in the Commission's jurisdiction. We believe the cost associated with any future dredging of Lake Montclair deemed necessary as a result of sedimentation is an issue between the county and the association. It appears there should only be a minimal and temporary impact to state-owned subaqueous land associated with the project. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, and after considering all the factors contained in 28-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project with the following conditions. Number one, any stream beds or banks impacted by the project shall be restored to pre-existing contours and conditions upon completion of the construction. Two, the Virginia ENS manual handbook and the approved sediment and erosion control plan for the project shall be followed throughout construction. Any proposed deviation in the crossing method or location must be formally authorized by the commission. Construction shall be performed during low flow conditions and the greatest extent practical.
One other thing I
forgot to mention earlier, besides they're doing the open trench method, they agreed to put sediment curtains around the cofferdam to decrease the sediment loading to the lake itself, which is an additional measure that would stop the sediment from flowing into the lake itself.
Thank you. Any questions by members of the commission? Mr. Tankard.
How will we define low flow conditions?
Just normal conditions. I mean, it's going to be where it's not flooding or anything like that. I mean, can you control, you know, 100-year storm or something like that? No, you can't. They start the construction method. It would be kind of hard to once you've started that, even though all the ENS manual and everything is followed, you know, if there's a 100-year storm, the area is going to flood, and that could be a potential problem.
I guess in that situation, low flow, not to sound flippant, the opposite of rain-oriented high-flow conditions, I would presume, probably the best way to discuss. Tony, is that close enough?
Okay.
Mr. Fox?
What is the construction time? In other words, they're going to do this trenching and have the curtains and so forth up. How long are we vulnerable to heavy rainfall and so forth?
As far as the construction length, the agents aren't here. They can answer that question for you. Like I said, if there's a storm or something like that, which I think the protesters are going to show pictures of a storm when Spriggs Road was done, causing a sediment issue into the river and the lake. But again, you know, he even admitted that was an abnormally high rainfall. Could that happen, and could there be some additional sedimentation into the lake? Absolutely.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Is the applicant here or represented? Do you wish to address the commission? Good morning. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. You state your name for the record, who you represent, please.
I'm Glenn Wilson. I'm an environmental scientist with Whitman Rec Horton Associates, who are the engineers for the applicant.
Okay. Could you answer Mr. Fox's question first before you get into anything else as far as
the
time? Got a pointer?
Just talking this one jurisdictional crossing right here, or
yes,
the entire crossing of the entire creek?
No, just that one.
Just the one crossing there? We leave most of the construction details to the actual contractor as far as exactly how they're going to set it up and how they would actually do the cofferdamming and how far out into the stream they do the cofferdamming and They'd have to do cofferdam on one side and then do the do the cofferdamming on the other side. Low flow conditions, you were talking about earlier, obviously they wouldn't be doing, they'd try to avoid doing stream crossings if there was predicted to be a major storm coming or a storm that was predicted to be, you know, more than a few days. They tried to avoid anything of that measure. Obviously, afternoon thunder showers and stuff can always occur, but it's never quite sure when some of those events might happen. But I can't imagine it being more than a couple of weeks in this particular portion of the stream there. Hopefully, it would be less than that. I know on other projects that we're engineering on streams that are fairly similar in size, sometimes the contractor's in and out within a few days. I can't necessarily say it would be a few days in this instance, but for that particular crossing, I would imagine that they'd try to be in and out within a week or two at the most, I would hope. Well, but again, I don't know for sure, but that's just a guess. Basically.
Well, within that time period, a week or two, you have notice of a hurricane forming and potentially coming, so you would be able to either act or not act.
My understanding is if it's predicted that a major storm event is going to occur, they want to pull everything out of there as soon as possible. They don't want to lose their materials. They don't want to have to go find their materials. They don't want the line to be compromised in any way. So generally speaking, if there's going to be a major storm event, they're going to pull everything out of the stream and try to just protect whatever they have in there as much as humanly possible. Mm. Just on a temporary measure, throw some riprap in there, something that they can be relatively sure that what they have in there isn't going to be destroyed or damaged or compromised in any way.
Okay. Further questions? Mr. Plumlee. Yes, sir.
Could you give us a little better, a more full description of the purpose behind the line, what it's doing specifically?
You can come forward, sir. Sir, raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God. State your name and who you represent, please.
Charlie Martirano with the Prince William County Service Authority.
Thank you, sir. Could you address the response to Mr. Plumlee?
Well, it had been mentioned that additional water flow was required. Can you give us a little more full description of it?
Currently, our water system comes around both sides of Lake Montclair. And what this project does, it completes that loop and reinforces the entire water system network in that area. Right now, if you would visualize Lake Montclair, basically our water line comes up both sides and stops. It was in our overall plan, and based on the sizing of the mains on both sides of Lake Montclair as that developed, that this would eventually be completed to connect the water system around Montclair to improve. We have water tanks on both sides of Montclair now that operate on the same system. This makes the operation of those tanks much more efficient. It builds a lot more flexibility in the water system as far as how the water is moved. If we have a water break on either side, we can then move water back and forth and the reliability of the system. We get better fire flow characteristics without having that closing that loop. That's the main purpose of the water main is to complete the loop around Montclair.
So this was part of a long-term plan that you've had for the system, and it also serves as a redundancy for the system to provide coverage in case of a breakage.
Yes, sir. This has been in our planning for several years.
Sorry. Further questions of the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Anyone else here in support of the project? Is there anyone here in opposition to the project? Yes, sir. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God.
Yes, sir.
You state your name, please.
My name is Matt Green.
Mr. Green, good to have you here.
Thank you. I have with me the president of our association, Ms. Catherine Kudrick, and our manager here, Ms. Heather McDonald.
Pleasure to have you all here today.
I'm on the board with Montclair. This gentleman has certainly been well briefed for the county. He obviously listened very well. That picture of the stream you saw out there that was running brown when the water's low in the middle of the summer in a drought situation mm-hmm. is a result of the activities of both streams. That used to be a nice, clear stream. And you see how it is now at low water. Okay. I would like to be here in fully support of what they're wanting to do. But because we have been left as a community holding the bag. Here is a report done by the county in 2008 that tells about how Lake Montclair is protecting the bay downstream and the community and the county. But we as a community are expected to carry the total load for what's happening in Montclair. He mentioned a project earlier that I'd be talking to. Unfortunately, this thing doesn't operate in color, so the full impact is not going to be presented. But I'm going to put at least one picture up for you to see. And then if I may leave this with you.
Yes, sir, please.
So we can get the full impact. This is a project on the creek right up above the lake. We had just finished a dredging of the lake the year before.
Is that within our jurisdiction?
When they started the project.
But before we go any further, I need to determine whether this is in our jurisdiction and whether I need to ask counsel if this is acceptable evidence as far as this case is concerned, based on our deliberations and our jurisdiction.
I understand you're looking at between the shorelines or the sides of the boundary and what happens within. Will that happen on the creek? And of course, extended well beyond creek boundaries. It went out as a flood, and all of this red you're seeing came into the creek, down the creek, into Montclair.
But it's not clear from these pictures what this project is. And the only thing...
Briggs Road Improvement Project.
Well, that project was not within the commission's jurisdiction. That project is not before the commission today. That project...
I'm not speaking. I'm just showing you what happened in the past, sir.
I understand.
And I'm going to use that to show why we're opposed to what's happening today. We would like for this commission to require the county to help us with any damage that's done as a result of this project, if it's approved. Because we have spent $2 million on dredging sediment out of Lake Montclair, and we spent oodles of bucks in the floating debris that comes out, the beer cans and all that stuff that comes out. Hundreds of barrels of stuff we pull out of that lake. All of that is being prevented from going down the creek into the Potomac, okay? But as we work with the county, as they briefed him very well, they say to us...
Excuse me. I sense that your staff has made their presentation. We hear what they've got to say, and we're going to hear what you have to say. But please do not impugn the integrity of staff as far as the presentation that he provided. I think he's doing the very best that he possibly can. It's your job now to convince us why we shouldn't approve this project. And don't go that route, please. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Well, our primary purpose here today, sir, is we hope this commission recognize the importance of Lake Montclair and to point out what happens up that stream comes directly into the lake, and we're having to get it all out. Again, I'd like to be here fully supportive of this project. Lord knows it needs to be done. Yes, a Spriggs Road needed to be done. But in the performance of the work, Montclair should not hold or carry the complete burden for what happens as a result of the project. And as we're working with the county, they've totally refused to accept any responsibility with statements like, you own the lake, it's your responsibility. And we cannot control what's happening up above the lake. We as a community, 14,000 people, 4,000 residents, we can't control what's happening above the lake. And that stream, well, right here is what we were confronted with. And when you saw the brown stream, too, of current pictures, that's a result of what's happening up the stream right now.
Okay.
And then I do apologize. I was not intentionally on the
Okay. Just so that we're clear, the jurisdiction of the Marine Resources Commission, as we're here today, is to determine whether it's an acceptable use of state water bottom to place that specific pipeline across that specific creek. We have the authority to put in specific requirements that the county or its agent must abide by during the permit issuance process. I hear where you're coming from as far as this is concerned, and I'm not going to comment one way or the other as far as the integrity of this construction project. It's not my place. It would be inappropriate. You, as a constituent up there, have ample opportunity and responsibility to do so through the democratic process. But we have to narrow our approach and our decision-making simply on that one crossing, not what happened above it. What can potentially happen below it as a result, of course, we can. But what happened above it and out of our jurisdiction, we cannot. It's almost as if we just can't, by law, consider that. Understood where you're coming from, but we can't. We basically, it's almost like being in court and the judge, somebody says something in court and the judge says, you will exclude that testimony. Well, that testimony must be excluded by virtue of some rulings that have been made that indicate that we're responsible for that and not upland issues. So that's where we are today. Not to cut you short, but we have our job that's narrowly tailored by the Code of Virginia, and that's where we have to make sure that we stay to. So.
Could I ask then, having understood that, I think fairly clearly, that any damage that's done as a result of this particular project to us, that the approval could be contingent upon the county accepting responsibility and helping us with the removal of any resulting siltation or damage?
I think what can be placed on there are the conditions that are there already. Stream beds or banks impacted shall be restored. That indicates if they damage the stream banks or banks, they have to return them to the normal condition, and then the other conditions that are there. So we can enforce these, or we wouldn't put them on there to begin with. Now, to use that as a vehicle to require an overall cleanup of what might have occurred before would be inappropriate. But they will be responsible if this project is approved for adhering to these conditions, because we do conduct inspections after the project is completed to ensure that these conditions were complied with.
All right, sir, but now during the construction itself,
if there's a problem, you need to let us know, and we certainly will respond. As that's our responsibility.
Thank you, sir.
Further questions of the gentleman? Thank you. Anyone else to testify? Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Fox.
I'm wondering whether the service authority will agree as a condition of the contract that the construction be completed within X number of days.
Days?
Well, days.
365 or something?
Days or weeks.
I can ask the gentleman. Sir, could you come forward
start,
and respond?
Once
yeah.
you start.
I understand what you're talking about.
There's a specific.
Could you state your name again one more time for the record?
Charlie Martirano with the Prince William County Service.
Thank you, Mr. Martirano.
There's a specific time limit for the contract itself.
Certainly.
I believe it's 6 months. However, the construction will take much less than that. We, by contract, can't specify to the contractor his means and methods. But based on projects like this, the time within that particular crossing should be no more than 2 weeks. And if a situation comes up that has been mentioned before, where there's a pending storm, a major storm, either a fairly small storm, the contractor will get all of his equipment out of that low area, up on the high ground, stabilize everything. Our inspectors will see to that, and we will have inspectors out there daily on the job, monitoring the construction activity, and also all the erosion control that's required by the contract.
But you were not willing to say that, let's say we put a three-week limit on you. From the time you commenced work on this crossing to the time this crossing is complete.
At this point, we cannot put that on the contract.
Why not?
The contract has already been written up with the contractor.
I guess I have a lot of trouble if the ditch is open for 6 months.
Well,
I mean,
they have at times stipulated that in the contract as part that they have to backfill the pipe trench as they go on a daily basis. They cannot leave it open. They backfill as the pipe goes in. It's the same operation daily. Erosion control is the first thing that goes in, is maintained throughout the project, and it's the last thing that goes out once everything is stabilized. The trench is not completely dug along the whole project and left open. It's a daily cut and cover project. They will dig the trench, they'll install the pipe, they'll backfill all in as they move down through the project.
I have one follow-up question on that line.
Mr. Plumlee.
Commissioner, would there not be a standard provision in the contract requiring the contractor to comply with any and all permits issued regarding the project?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That standard wording is in there.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, sir.
So we could.
The matter remains before the commission for discussion and action.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we accept staff's recommendation with the addition of a three-week requirement of for once the crossing has commenced to the time the crossing has terminated, finished.
My concern, Mr. Fox, is this. I don't believe that the contractor, it's to the benefit of the contractor to leave it open any longer than they should. Of course, those things happen. My concern is from an enforceability perspective, if they get halfway through there and the 3 weeks is up and they're 2 days from completion, it's 3 days, 3 weeks and 2 days, what would we do then as an enforcement action? I mean, I know what you're trying to.
I see that problem.
I know what you're trying to accomplish. I just don't know how to get there and whether
I'm open
that.
Open to another way to accomplish it, but.
Counselor, you have any ideas?
I believe the applicant's made an assertion that he's going to take every reasonable effort to get the project complete as quickly as possible, and it's in their best interest to do it within a short amount of time.
And comply with the, as Mr. Plumlee pointed out, comply with the permit requirements.
Well, so David, how would we say that?
I believe that's part of staff's recommendation and the applicant's assertion already.
So you think it's already covered?
I believe so.
Can we say perform during low flow conditions to the greatest extent practical and at the maximum speed practical?
I think that is acceptable because if we find out that lo and behold, the engineer goes on site and it's nothing but what shouldn't be there, then they'd be in violation of the permit.
Yeah.
So proceed with your motion if you would.
So moved in that with that modification.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We'll be monitoring the project. And, sir, please, I can't compel you to, but you indicated to me that you'd have inspectors on site. Let's have a smooth project if we could, please.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Y'all have a good day.